We are continuing our series of studies on understanding Revelation. That was some time ago when I first started the series. I want to make it clear from the very beginning what I mean by understanding Revelation. In other words, I'm not trying to expound to you the book of Revelation verse by verse. I am just giving you the background, the perspective to understand Revelation so that when you read it, you know how to place it in the right place in the scripture and how to interpret it with regard to what it forecasts regarding future times. So, if I am to expound the scripture of as found in Revelation, verse by verse, the four sessions will not be enough. As it is, I'm running short of time, so I must hurry. So, a quick recapitulation, because the part one was done quite some time ago. In part one, you remember, I nearly forgot that I was to be here, and as a result, I had to rush through. And we dealt with the problems in interpreting Revelation. Today, there are many commentaries on the book of Revelation. And therefore, you need to be careful which commentary you choose, because you will not know which one would be correct. So, generally speaking, the various commentaries take these four interpretations. The allegories, that the book of Revelation is just a fable, a moral, to encourage the Christians who were under persecution at that time to live the life that they ought to live. Then there is the preterist, that Revelation was only for the time in John's life, lifetime, that it was only restricted to the first century of what was happening at that time. And after that, there's no more. In other words, there's no future for Revelation. It's a preterist. Then the historicist. Then you will come across commentaries who would take various characters in Revelation and would say, this is so and so in history. For example, there's Apollyon, the king of the evil spirits. Oh, he would be Napoleon. Or the beast with the number 666. He would be Nero at that time, who persecuted the Christians, and so on, so on. So that would be the historicist's viewpoint. Then, of course, there would be the futurist, who would regard the book of Revelation as still in the future, yet to be fulfilled. And this is our stand as I expound the scriptures to you with regard to the understanding of Revelation. So, therefore, let us look at Revelation in its perspective. I have told you about the author, John, the time it was written in the first century. Now, the panorama. What the book contains. What Revelation, what is the content of Revelation? Now, we must not guess. The best way to understand any book in the Bible is to look out for the key text that will open up the book, and the key text is found in Revelation chapter 1 verse 19, and it reads, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, this is the key to the understanding of Revelation. In other words, the book of Revelation contains what John saw, what John encountered at his time, and the things that would happen after that. So, the things which thou hast seen, what would that be? If you compare that with verse 1:11, then it would refer to the portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. The portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw a vision of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1. So, as far as we are concerned, that would be past. The things which thou hast seen, Then there would be also the things which are. The things which are found in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 with regard to the seven churches. Now, the wonderful letters, the seven letters to the churches, would depict the history of the church, not only from John's time, but right up to our time. We can find characteristics of each church in the various periods in church history. So that today we can say we are in the age of church Laodicea, the Laodicean church, where the church said, I am self-satisfied in myself. I am happy. But the Lord says, you are lukewarm. And the Lord is outside the church, so that he has got to knock at the door and say, behold, I stand at the door and knock and open the door and I will come in. The door, the Lord Jesus Christ today is outside the church. He is no more in the church, in many, many churches today. And we see the world has gone into the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ outside knocking to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. That verse is often used as a gospel text to preach to unbelievers. That's not right. It is used for Christians. It is a text that the Lord used to knock at the door of a church in order to come in, because the church had put him out. So, one part of the threefold plan has been fulfilled, which thou hast seen. Then which are still present with us. That which shall be hereafter, therefore, becomes the prophecy in Revelation chapter 4 to 22. So after chapter 3, we have things that will happen after the church has been taken up. Let's prove this. We now have the twofold prophecy to deal with. We dealt with the letters last time, part 2, when we dealt with the letters of the Lord's letters to the seven churches, the things which are the dispensation of the church. Now, the things which shall be hereafter. We have not come to the end yet for the beginning of the period, the things which shall be hereafter. We are still in the things which are, the last part. But we shall come soon to the end of the second part and go on to the third part, the things which shall be hereafter. Why do I say that? Look at the text. What happened? Yes, the things which shall be hereafter will contain from chapters 4 to 22. And it will be an outline from the rapture of the church, which I shall prove after this, to the end, up to the eternity. For example, in this content, very quickly, because we are going through this in detail later on, we have the seven seal judgments in chapters 4 to 6. Then we have the seventh seal. Now, what we need to understand when we read Revelation is that everything is not going on continuously one after another. Chapters 4 to 6, you have the seven seals. There are six seals. The seventh seal is given in chapter 8. So that there is a jump from chapter 6 to chapter 8. Seven is left out. I'll tell you about that afterwards. Then we have the seven trumpets. When the seventh seal is broken, then the seven trumpets blow. In other words, the seventh seal contains the seven trumpets. Be gone. That seventh trumpet is described for us in chapter 11, 15, 19. And with that, we have the seven bowl judgments. So, what you need to understand is that the trumpet judgments are not after the seal judgments. And the bowl judgments are not after the trumpet judgments in a series, but rather the seven trumpets are in the seventh seal, and the seven bowls are in the seventh trumpet. Hope you understand this. Otherwise, you would think that they are a continuing series with the happenings happening one after another. But actually, therefore, the seven seals are very important. They will more or less cover everything that is to be covered by the trumpets and by the bowls. If we understand that, then we have a right picture of what is going to happen. Okay, let's go on from there. So, I repeat. Seven seals, the seven trumpet, the seventh seal gives the seven trumpets, and the seventh trumpet gives the seven bowls. We shall see more of that as we go on. And then after that, in chapter 19 to chapter 20, we have the millennial kingdom set up, and then finally the last days, the eternity coming in. Now, you are sharp, you will find that chapter 7 is missing. Chapter 10 is missing. Chapters 12, 13, 14 are missing. Chapters 17 and 18 are missing. Why are they missing? If you read your Revelation, chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter, and you think that one is after another, one after another, then you get all confused. So, having understand the position of the seals, trumpets and bowls, know also that in between these series of judgments, there are also pauses, and these pauses are further expansion and explanation of what has happened earlier, so that you have a better perspective of what is going on. And those are the missing chapters, which we shall call as the parentheses. They are the missing chapters. I will go through the parentheses next week, so you just go through very fast. There are these seven missing chapters, and the seven further description of things that happen during the various judgments, so that we will know how they relate one to another. But more importantly, we need to see how these seven, these judgments relate to the rest of the Bible, so that we can place the judgments in their proper places. So today's study, the judgments. Hopefully we have time to deal with the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. Okay. So, the perspective of the seven seals in chapter 6. If you have your Bible open, you can look at chapter 6. And as we refer to it, then you can also have a glance at the text to see what I'm talking about. We need to examine their relationship to the described earlier events. Chapter 6 will give you the seal judgments. We need to see how chapter 6 relates to chapters 1 to 5. But more importantly, chapter 4 verse 1, which reads, "After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Not please. After this. After what? After chapter 3. What happened in 1, 2, and 3? 1, the portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 and 3, the letters to the seven churches. After the letters to seven churches, chapter 4, verse 1, John heard a voice from heaven, "Come up!" And he was taken up. So that chapter 4 onwards, you'll find John in heaven looking down on things on earth happening. So when John is in heaven, John represents the church. Because he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He would represent the church, and he heard the voice come up, and a trumpet sounded, and he was caught up, and that would be symbolic of the church. Having heard the trumpet that shall sound, we caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And now the church would be as represented and symbolized by John in the air, in heaven. In heaven. So the church is no more on earth. So that when we read chapter 6, the seal judgments, onwards to the end, even from chapter 4 and chapter 5, the church is no more on earth. Do not look for the church on earth. Give you at least two proofs. First proof, it says, after this, after 2 and 3, church is in heaven. Second proof, I pointed out to you the last session. The word church or churches does not occur again after chapter 3, except in chapter 22 and verse 16 last time. But from chapter 6 to chapter 19, the Great Tribulation part, the church is not found there. It is no more found there. The word church occurs over 25 times in chapters 2 and 3, but does not occur even once between chapter 6 to chapter 19. So, don't look out for the church in that period of time discussed in chapter 6 and chapter 19. Because if you do so, then you have big problems trying to interpret Revelation in the perspective. So, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. Remember hereafter? Right. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That's the third part now. So from that portion, it will be the third part of the instruction to John to write on Revelation. Chapters 4 and 5, the church is in heaven. And while the church is in heaven, a rolled up scroll sealed by seven seals was presented to the people up there, to the saints up there. And they were asked, can anyone or is anyone worthy to open the seals? No one was found worthy except the Lamb upon the throne, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the one who opened the seals. So, we find the church raptured in chapter 4. Now, second relationship. We still do not know how chapters 4 and 9, or especially chapter 6 to 19, fit in with the whole prophecy and program of the whole scripture. Where do they fit in? Old Testament prophecy has something else to say, and to give us the time period of these things happening, we must relate the seal judgments to Daniel's vision of the 70 weeks. We must also relate the seal judgments with the Lord Jesus Christ's discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25. We shall do this in detail so that you will know the correct perspective when we read Revelation 6 to 19. Right. In chapter 24 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting on Mount Olivet, Mount of Olives, and he looked down upon the beautiful temple of Jerusalem. And he said to his disciples, when you see this temple so beautiful, soon not one stone will lay upon the other, because it will completely be destroyed. Then the disciples, when they were privately with him, asked him, Lord, when shall these things happen? And so the Lord had to answer three questions. When shall these things happen? Would refer to the destruction of Jerusalem. 70 AD, that would come to pass, when no stone of the temple would be laid upon the other. Lord, when shall these things be? The Lord also mentioned about the great tribulation. It will come to pass. And thirdly, when shall the last things end? And that will be the end when Christ comes. All these three events are found in Matthew chapter 24. The three events found in Matthew chapter 24 speak of the destruction of Jerusalem, speak of the great tribulation, speak of the second coming. Is the church there? No. The church is not there. Do not find the church in Matthew 24. Because if you find, if you interpret Matthew 24 in terms of the church, then you have certain problems. Alright? I shall come to all this when I come to the fact later. So, let us look at that. At these two important prophecies in the Old Testament. Daniel's 70th week. Why was Daniel's 70th week important? Because they gave us the time when the events in chapter 6 to 19 of Revelation will occur. In the vision to Daniel, God gave him a vision of consisting of three periods. There will be a period of 70 weeks divided into three periods. One period, first 6 weeks, then the second 62 weeks, and the last 1 week. Now, the 1 week is not a 1 week of days, of 7 days. The 1 week actually in the Hebrew is 70 sevens. It can be days, it can be months, it can be years, it can be anything. But this, when we try to interpret Daniel's vision in correspondence to days, weeks, and months, we cannot see any fulfillment in prophecy. But when we relate these periods to the years, then, wow, we see the fulfillment. For example, the first 7 weeks, the first 7 years, plus the 62 weeks, I know they are too small for you to see. First 7 weeks, regard to the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Then you have the next, until the time when the prince shall come, that is when Antichrist will set up his kingdom. And then suddenly you have the last week of the last 7 years when Antichrist will set up his kingdom and will rule over the earth. Alright. Now, how will these things turn out? 62 weeks, Bible scholars have found out that and have calculated that they will end at the time, or they ended at the time when the Lord Jesus Christ marched into Jerusalem in AD 33. Calculated and fulfilled right to the day. For those who are interested, it is in a book known as The Coming Prince. Calculated to the day. But then if you continue with another 7 years, there was no event, no significant event to fulfill. So there must be a suspension of that 70th week. And that suspension would be the dispensation of the church, which is spoken of in Ephesians as the mystery of the church. A mystery is something hidden in the past but revealed in the present. Something hidden in the Old Testament but revealed in the New Testament. And the doctrine of the church was hidden in the Old Testament but revealed in the New Testament. And therefore, you find Daniel's vision did not find the church dispensation there. So, we call this a parenthesis. And therefore, after the church has been raptured into heaven, then the 70th week will continue. And we are told that in the 70th week, a prince will come, Antichrist will come. He will make a covenant of peace with Israel for 1 week, 7 years. But in the midst of the week, he will break the covenant and he will reveal himself as he is the Antichrist, the number 666. And so we find that when we read Revelation chapter 6 to 19, they fulfill this week. So Revelation 6 to 19 is a fulfillment of this 70th week spoken of by Daniel in his vision of the 70 weeks. We must understand that. To confirm all this, we have to look at the Lord's. Alright, just a quick explanation on this first. The 70th week in Daniel 9:27 is best understood to correspond to the events happening in Revelation 6:19, and it refers to the 3.5 years of Great Tribulation. Alright, I want to explain the Great Tribulation again. The last week, as I told you, will be known as the Tribulation period. It's the Tribulation. It is not the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, when chaos will come about, will be the second period of the seven years. That's 3.5 years. That will be the second period of the 7 years. That will be called the Great Tribulation. Now, many Bible commentators say that this Great Tribulation, so-called, is just the ordinary tribulation that the Christian goes through. It's not true. It's not right. Let me prove to you. If you look at Daniel 12:1, and it's the context of Daniel 12:1, it says that this persecution will come upon Israel, the nation of Israel. Never before had they experienced it. Jeremiah 37, this persecution will be known as Jacob's trouble, and it will be very great, so that hardly anyone could live through it. Matthew 24:21-29, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is a persecution never before and never will come again. It is not an ordinary persecution. It is a persecution unique in its own, never before experienced, and never will be repeated in the future. This is known as the Great Tribulation, and it is the second period of the seventh period of 3.5 years. So, to prove that, Revelation 7:14, we read that during that period, there were saints who had died, martyrs, who had been resurrected into heaven. And the people in heaven, the angels and the 20 elders and the others asked, who are these people? And the answer came, they are those who have come out of the Great Tribulation. As the word Great Tribulation, it is not tribulation. It's the Great Tribulation, because that is the time of special persecution by Satan and by the Antichrist. Okay, so that's why you find in the seal judgments, after the fourth seal, there will be chaos. First seal, first horse. Second horse, second seal. Third seal, third horse. Fourth seal, fourth horse. But the fifth seal, no more horse. It's all chaotic, terrible. It's persecution that has never been experienced before. That will be fifth, sixth, and seventh seal judgment. So, I hope I made myself clear that we have the 69 weeks. After that, we have the dispensation of the church, which is now, and this period of the 7 years have not come yet. If it comes, we will not be in it. The church will already be taken up to heaven. If you believe, as some Bible commentators believe, that they will go through it, okay. I don't object. You want to go through the Great Tribulation? You go through. I do not want, because it's too terrible for me. I cannot stand it. So, I'm going up. Okay? Alright. Matthew 24. Now, let's look at Matthew again. Matthew 24 was the word where we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, where the Lord Jesus Christ looked at Jerusalem and then gave this prediction. The disciples asked, tell us, when shall these things be? Matthew 24 therefore will answer three questions. When shall these things be? One, what shall be the sign of their coming? Two, and of the end of the world? Three. So Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 are the responses to the disciples' question when the Lord answered three questions. One, when shall these things be? That will be the destruction of Jerusalem, when no stone will be left upon another. What shall be the sign of thy coming? That will be the great tribulation leading to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to rescue the people, the Jews. Third, at the end of the age, that will be the time when he will set up the millennium and leading on to eternity. Okay, so Matthew 24, 25, we will be answering these questions. Please remember that. Let's see Matthew 24 and see how it relates to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 24, tell us when shall these things be. Revelation 6. Matthew 24, we read, Revelation chapter 6 speaks of the four horses. And we see how they relate. 24 verses 4 and 5, the Lord Jesus Christ warned that the time will come when there will be false Christ going on preaching. And the false Christ can go around preaching because there will be peace. First one, we see a white horse. The white horse represents peace upon earth. Revelation chapter 6 verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord also said there will be wars and rumors of wars during that time, verses 6 and 7. And we see the red horse, the second war. There will be wars and rumors of wars. The red as represented by the red horse in verses 3 and 4. Then there will be famines, because there will be pestilences and there will be persecutions and there will be famines. And we read that there will be a black horse. And the black horse, we are told, represents famines. And we are told in Matthew 24, there will be death, many people will die, and there will be sorrow. And if a person is found with children, oh, woe is her, to be found at that time and in that place. And we find the pale horse, death, accompanied by Hades. And so we find the parallelism between Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 6. But this is with regard to the first four horses. And I believe that the first four horses would only refer to the first period of the seven-year period. The first period was the time when Antichrist would make a covenant of peace. But in the middle of the seven-year period, Antichrist will break the covenant. And then he will show himself who he would be. And so we find the Lord himself saying, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The period of sorrows are not here yet. This will come when we come on to verse 9, verse 5, verse 9. When we read in May 24, many people will be killed. Many of the Jews will be killed. There will be martyrs. And we read in Revelation chapter 6 that there will be martyrs. And they were under the altar crying out for revenge. Oh, avenge us. Matthew 24, there will be worldwide chaos. The sun will be darkened. The moon will be darkened. And there will be worldwide chaos right through. And we find chapter 6, Revelation 12 to 17, also worldwide chaos. And today, we have a glimpse. We have a glimpse of what worldwide chaos can be. We have a glimpse. Please remember, when this book was written, 90 AD, we would never ever think that these things could happen. That these things could happen. Anything could happen worldwide. Because everything was limited, restricted. You could not do things worldwide. But now we do know that things can be done worldwide. Worldwide spreading and evangelism. And the Lord says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Now this verse has been used by many people wrongly. Many people say, today the gospel of the kingdom will be preached and all will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The church will become better and bigger and bigger and so on. It's not true. Remember, I said, This chapter is to be dealt with in the time of the Great Tribulation. And during the Great Tribulation, the Lord will send His 144,000 Jews to go around to preach. They will be preaching not the gospel of Jesus Christ that we believe in. They will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom will come, because after the Great Tribulation, the kingdom will be set up. The kingdom will come. But they are not preaching the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be preaching as John the Baptist preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That was suspended during the grace period. Now, after the church has been captured, the period will continue. And when the people will go around, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so we find that we must not misunderstand the scriptures when we read the scriptures. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. That will be the time. During the Great Tribulation, when the 144,000 Jews, specially anointed Jews, will be out preaching the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles. And so, we see the seven seals of Revelation, which consists of four horses. And after that, we have got different chaotic conditions. Alright, very quickly, you may not see at the back because of the writing, but let me explain to you. First seal, you see a white horse. And I like you to note, please, that white horse had a bow, but no arrow. No arrow. Please note when you read chapter 6, no arrow. Why? Because it was peace. And the rider was able to conquer without causing much death. There will be many peace covenants made among the nations. Second horse, you will find peace removed, and then you see wars and rumors breaking out and so on. And third, because of wars and rumors, there will be famines, and there will be not enough food, oil and wine will be spared. And then the fourth seal, you'll find death taking place. Many people will die. And we read death and Hades right on the white horse together. Why? People will die. And when people die, people will be sent to Hades. And so we see this program before us. After that, the world becomes so chaotic, they are not represented by riders anymore, or horses. Okay, let's go on. So, I have brought before you the retribution. Now, the response. Fifth, sixth, and seventh seal. The fifth seal, we read, the martyrs who had died under the altar, golden altar, and they cried out, "Oh, avenge us! When will we be avenged?" And the Lord answered, "Not now. There will be many more who must die before the end comes." So you see, when Christians are persecuted, it's not by chance. The Lord has a plan, and the Lord has His numbers. The Lord allows His people to be persecuted and to die. And you cannot force the Lord's hand to remove the persecution, because He has His time. He has His program. And the Lord says, there are yet many who must die before the end comes. And so, we so far have not seen yet the four judgments, the first four judgments. But we can see already signs leading to the four. The first four are known as the beginning of birth pangs, or as the Lord says, the beginning of sorrows. Right? Very quickly, there is the commitment unto blood. The martyrs who died, they were under the altar. They cried for blood. Avengers, they cried out. Their clothes had been washed clean. They were wearing white clothes, but it was white because they have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the company of their brethren yet to shed blood, we read in chapter 6, verse 11. Lord, stop the persecution. Lord, there are yet many more to die. We must understand this, even as we cried out today. Lord, save your people from persecution. The Lord says, there are many yet to die. It's a sad fact, but we must acknowledge that. The Lord has His program. The Lord has His time. And when time comes, He will act. The sixth seal, worldwide catastrophe, convulsions in heaven and on earth happening. The people's cry, the people on earth. By the way, all these things are happening on earth, not in heaven. The church is already in heaven. They look down and they see these things happening. And the people on earth cried out, oh, hide us, let the rocks fall upon us, let us die. They cannot die. Those in heaven, those that resurrected, they cried out, Lord, avenge us. The great tribulation of the last 3.5 years are terrible years. Terrible years. Let us thank the Lord that we will not be in it. Although some people believe that they will go through the great tribulation. And as I say, if they believe they will go through, let them be. But I'm not going to go through. I fear you have to read the great tribulation passages and you will know how bad it is. Worldwide convulsions. Let me go through this quickly because I'm not going to talk about that. Having introduced you to the judgments, these are the judgments. If you read them, then the passage, you will understand. But it is not my purpose to expound the text to you. Seventh seal open. Let's jump now. Chapter 8. Chapter 6, we jump to 8. Chapter 7 is a parenthesis. We shall cover that next week. There's the seventh trumpet sounded. And when the seventh trumpet sounded, what happened? The preparation to execute the seventh seal about to open and the seven trumpets about to be sounded. Now that's the preparation. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. At first there was a silence for half an hour. Complete silence before the storm of judgments to come. The supplication of the saints, they cry out. And the desolation on earth, there will be upheaval on earth. There will be earthquakes. There will be natural pestilences and so on. All happening. And chapter 9, we read that the evil spirits in the form of locusts will come out from the bottomless pit. It will be open. And all those evil spirits that have been bound and imprisoned will come out. And they will create havoc on the earth among those people who reject them. So, the first four of not much significance, but the last three, tremendous chaotic conditions and convulsions. And the Lord said the last three were he referred to them as the three woes. The three woes. Woe, woe, and woe. And so you see the three woes there. The sixth and the fifth, six and seven. Tremendous problem. One third of the earth will be burned. One third of the trees will be burned. One third of the sea will be turned to blood. One third of the creatures in the sea will die. One third of the ships will be destroyed. One third of the rivers will turn bitter, wormwood. The springs will turn wormwood. One third of the sun will turn dark. One third of the moon will turn dark. One third of the stars will turn dark. And one third people will be killed. Tremendous. One third. One third. One third. This will happen. If you believe the Bible, if you believe the word, this will happen. In the great tribulation, you know it is drastic. So, roughly speaking, The seventh trumpet will tell you of the earth burned, one third destroyed, sea turned to blood, one third destroyed, one third sea, fish, ships, all destroyed, water poisoned, wormwood means bitterness, became bitter so that they cannot drink, sun, moon and stars darkened, locusts would turn out, these are the evil spirits, and river Euphrates will open up so that armies from the east will be able to cross and attack Israel, attack the Jews. Are you seeing this happening now? Signs happening now? See, look out. River Euphrates will dry up. And the angels that take care of River Euphrates will be released. And then you find armies from the east. Armies from the east. Note please, look at your geography. I don't want to mention names. What are the countries on the east of River Euphrates? They will run across and they will attack Israel. So, and then we come on to the last trumpet, seventh trumpet. When the seventh trumpet is blown, we find that the seven bowls will be poured out. Here is a rough idea of what happened when the fifth trumpet was blown. I have no time to go through this because I'm not astounding. Then also the sixth trumpet, the army from the east will cross River Euphrates and they will attack Israel. And look at the people killed. One third of men killed, one quarter killed in the fourth seal. One quarter of men killed in the fourth seal judgment, one third killed in the trumpet judgment, one third plus one third, how many? Do a mathematical calculation, that will be 712 killed. Over half the world's population will be gone during that period. Over half the world's population will be gone. And today you find people killed and we make a lot of noise. Half the world's population will be killed. Armed forces will come and they are numbered 200 million times. It will be 10,000 times 10,000. Again, mathematics. 10,000 times 10,000. How many? It will come to 200 million. Army, soldiers will come from the east to attack. I just read this morning that Turkey also is asking for the right to establish nuclear warfare. So these things are happening now. The nuclear warfare. The number killed, wanted men. Alright, all this. And yet, the people will not repent. They repented not. And you know what? These people, they do not repent, but they will get themselves involved. Worship, demon worship, idolatry, murder, sorcery. Sorcery is the word pharmakia, and it is pharmacies, drugs. Drugs. Sexual immoralities, pornography. We will find these two very prevalent as in the days leading to the Great Tribulation. Pornography, drugs. These things are coming. Remember, this was written 1980, and yet these things we can see nowadays. Now, 2,000 years later, you see the prophecy coming true. Seventh trumpet will lead on to the judgments, the bowl judgments. The bowl judgments are almost the same as the trumpet judgments. They are almost parallel, as you can see. Trumpet judgments, bowl judgments, the order the same. The order the same. And the spheres are almost the same, but different results. And so you find there is the intensiveness of judgment when it comes to the bowl judgment. Alright. In the seventh bowl, it says, pour the bowl in the air. The judgment is in the air. It happens. action accomplished. It's done. It is done. With the seven bowl, the great tribulation period will end. It is done. And if you read the chapter, you'll find the word great occurring again and again, again and again. The great city, the great cry, the great chaos on earth, the great city, Babylon, in agony, people will cry out and against God. But they will not repent. They will not repent. So that will be the end of our study of the judgments. Seal judgments, trumpet judgments, bowl judgments. Terrible, isn't it? When you read Revelation chapter 6 to 19, keep all these things in mind. Tomorrow, next week, we hope to cover the parentheses, the chapters in between that I did not cover today. And then leading to the kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth. Well, we'll see you next week. Hopefully, the heated hereafter does not appear, does not happen before end of this week. Otherwise, we'll meet up there. Better still, isn't it? The Lord bless all of you. Thank you.